This is the Detroit Sports Podcast Network.
But there's going to be one team that's going to play solely as a team. No man is more important than the team. No coach is more important than the team. The team, the team, the team.
Looks deep for Anthony Clark. Waits for it. Tim Clark.
Brady gets terrific.
Turns it, get it, touchdown, night again.
Schultz just before Frizzell got him, and a leaping interception by Woodson.
Harbaugh back to throw over the middle, caught by Colbert, the 5 on his feet, touchdown, Michigan. On its way. 5'7", 179 pounds, a junior at Michigan. But Jamie Morris packs a wallop, and he delivers for Bo Schembechler.
And here's your first play. Pressure coming, sacked. It is Glenn Steele, number 81, who fought his way through the traffic.
Option. And Robinson calls his own number, and he's going to score. Oh, an easy touchdown for Denard Robinson and Michigan.
Win it. We're going to win the championship again because we're going to play as a team. And when we play as a team and the old season is over, you and I know it's going to be Michigan again. Michigan.
Hey, Steve Dace here with an impromptu episode of Michigan Podcast after the big news on Friday. Ward Manuel actually did it, ended this abomination of a basketball season and program under Juwan Howard, and it's very sad. Didn't have to end this way, but over the course of his career, once he got past what John Beilein had built, Juwan Howard proved he could not sustain a roster, could not retain a roster, could not recruit a roster. Took no initiative whatsoever, really, on the NIL front. And then, of course, there was the massive problem with his Scott Frost-like record in one-possession games. Now, the good news this year is Michigan didn't do too badly in one-possession games because they weren't in very many one-possession games. It's the most losses in school history, and many of them were by double digits. It's just the worst team in Michigan basketball history when you also consider this was not a great year in the Big Ten either. I mean, Michigan lost by 30 to Rutgers a week or two ago. Rutgers lost by 20 in the Big Ten tournament. That kind of gives you an idea of where things are at. So we say goodbye to Juwan Howard and that gimmick. And now the next basketball coach needs to not be a gimmick. It needs to be a grinder. It needs to be someone that has proven they know how to build a program. They know how to recruit and retain a roster with today's NIL and then understanding the NIL situation at Michigan, but also being prepared for what is likely going to be system-wide changes in the relationships between programs and their players in probably just the next couple of years when everybody is some form of a revenue share or employee. So are they ready for that? And what that will mean in terms of retaining their own roster, are they ready for that? The academic requirements at Michigan, do they get that Michigan still values its academic reputation? And so I think when you look at proven guys who have done those things, let's start with who I think are the top two candidates that are realistic. I don't think T.J. Otzelberger at Iowa State's realistic. He has a $17 million buyout. I don't think Mick Cronin is realistic at UCLA. He has a $20 million buyout. I don't think Michigan native Nate Oates at Alabama is realistic. He had a $12 million buyout 48 hours ago and just signed a new deal. And then we don't really know what the buyouts are for guys at high-profile private schools. Greg McDermott, I covered Greg McDermott professionally when he was at Iowa State. He was a disaster there. He's done a great job at the mid-major, and now Creighton's kind of mid-major plus level. Shaka Smart is who I thought we should have actually hired the last time around. Didn't when we hired Juwan Howard. Now, he just signed a new deal. He's always kind of been a Michigan fan. I don't know exactly how prohibitive his buyout is because he's at a private school, so they don't have to disclose. But I am thinking that if it's any form of a prohibitive buyout, Michigan is probably out. So who are guys that fit the criteria of everything I just said? I've got on my Twitter account, there are six names. There are three, though, that I think have kind of separated from everybody else in terms of resume, where that is concerned. And number one for me is Tony Bennett at Virginia. Number two for me is Chris Collins at Northwestern. He's the added bonus of taking away a coach from a team in the conference that we're trying to be better than. That's kind of like a value added. And then Porter Mosier at Oklahoma. I love the idea of Dusty May. He fits that criteria, too. Not sure where he's at with Ohio State and Louisville, who have been open longer than us and can probably outbid us if they wanted to for a head coaching position. That's maybe the only reason he's not higher on my list. But I think it needs to be somebody like that. I'd look at the Abdur Rahim. I'd look at the South Florida coach as a wild card. His resume is way flimsier than some of the other guys on my list, like Nico Medved at Colorado State, who's kind of a poor man's John Beilein, kind of wunderkind, you know, offensive whiz guy, X's and O's, you know, kind of genius guy. And then Darian DeVries at Drake. He coaches 15 minutes from where I live. And if you look at Drake, they had a Final Four team in the John Wooden years of UCLA. They played them, in fact, in a Final Four that was 50 years ago. Since then, they've had one meaningful basketball season until Darian DeVries showed up, and he could probably bring his kid with him, who's an All-American. So that's also somebody to take a look at, because I've seen firsthand what that guy has done at Drake, a program that was a coach killer at the mid-major level for really several decades, and he has turned it into a perennial contender in the Missouri Valley Conference. But I would look at the South Florida coach, Abdur Rahim. His resume is flimsier than all the names I just mentioned, but if you look at what he did at Kennesaw State, 27 wins at South Florida. These are programs that have been dead ends for coaches. It's possible he's the next big thing in coaching. And so can you get him now before everybody realizes that? I'd interview him. His resume doesn't come close to any of the other names that I just mentioned, but I would interview him just to be on the safe side. But that's where I think Michigan basketball is headed, and I think it will be an upgrade. Let's talk about whether or not to bring back John Beilein as we close this out. Who doesn't love John Beilein? He's the basketball Bo Schembechler. Okay, he's the greatest basketball coach in school history. He's 71, all right? And so what you need out of him is a commitment. Can you be here? Well, first of all, I'm not even sure Ward Manuel and John Beilein can work together anyway, given how things ended the last time they did. But let's assume that interpersonal dynamic River Styx can be crossed, all right? I still need to know, is John Beilein, is he going to coach for another 3 years? At least. But at least, you need at least 3 years at 71. He left before all hell broke loose in college sports, which is what we're seeing right now. He said his expectation that all hell would break loose in college sports is one of the reasons why he left. So at 71, is he willing to come in here and deal with stuff? I mean, that's about as old as Nick Saban was. And he said he dipped, poured one out and said, I'm done with this. I don't want to deal with this stuff. So John Beilein want to come in at 71 and deal with this stuff? I don't know, you know, and his son has nowhere near the resume to make his son it flamed out at a Lemoyne and is coaching like some semi-pro gimmicky league. He has no resume of qualification. If his name was Patrick anything other than Beilein, this wouldn't even be a consideration. No, we're a bigger program than that. So that's the idea of him being a coach in waiting. He doesn't have the resume for that. Anything close to it, in fact. So what you need from John Beilein is you need to know if you're Ward Manuel and if you're us, Michigan fans, are we getting a call next offseason? I did it for a year. Man, it's harder than I thought. Peace out. We can't afford that. So I love the idea of bringing John Beilein back. I'm not sure how much John Beilein, I think John Beilein misses teaching basketball. I don't know how much he misses everything else that goes into leading a major college basketball program right now. Sure, I'd ask, I'd find out, but you need a three-year ironclad, look me in the eye, okay, DNA swab, and we put your family crest insignia in blood on the covenant. 3-year level of commitment before I made that move. And anything short of that, you can't. The program can't afford it, as great as he was. You can't bring Howard Schnellenberger back past his prime. Okay. All right, those are my thoughts. Let us know what you think right here in the comments section. But I give Ward Manuel credit for having the stones to do what I did not think he was going to do. But now he's going to hire another basketball coach. So let's find out. Go Blue.